Well, let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Kings, if you will. 2 Kings. We were in 2 Kings a few weeks ago, and I wanted to come back and give you another one out of this. 2 Kings, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. Anyway, so it's right in there. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse number 1, if you will. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse number 1. Good to have you all here this morning. Appreciate some extra visitors with the baptism. That's good. I appreciate that very much. It's good to have the support of the family. Interesting little story here. We're talking about Elijah. Elijah was a very well-known prophet. Lord did some mighty things, a whole lot more miracles through Elijah than, like, for instance, Samuel. Samuel had a lot of teaching, and he brought Saul in as a king, and David as the king, and so forth, and so forth, and so on. Elijah has an awful lot of events here that shows the power of God. And remember, a prophet. The Bible says we have prophet, we have priest. Okay, and the priest takes us to the presence of God through the blood. Okay, that's what the priest was doing. Now, we don't have priests now. We're now a kingdom of priests. We go directly to the throne of Christ by the blood of Christ. He's our high priest. So a priest takes us this way. A prophet is one who tells the people what God wants us to know. Now, we talk about prophecy, and a lot of times it's foretelling. We know that's the case. It's telling us what's going to happen. By the way, God didn't just predict. He already knows. It's already in a book. He already knows what's going to happen. So, well, we haven't made our decisions yet, but he knows what decisions we're going to make. So sometimes it is foretelling, but a prophet also is forthtelling. In other words, simply telling what's happening now or what has happened before. A prophet tells man what God wants us to know. That make sense? Okay, so it's more than just prophecy and prediction. And by the way, if it's a true prophet, the Bible says, it'll come to pass. If some prophet gives some kind of prophecy and it doesn't come to pass, he wasn't a prophet of God. He didn't get it from God, because God's always true. God knows what's going on. So every once in a while, we get some people who are, 88 reasons why Jesus is going to come in 1988. I'm sorry. You know, there's a lot of folks want to set those dates. The Bible says we're not going to know. Even Jesus doesn't know what time what that's going to be, the hour or the moment, the day, or this, but we've got to be ready. And by the way, we were talking about this the other day. You know why the Lord didn't tell us when he was coming? Because we wait till he's almost here before we get things cleaned up. I'm sorry, we're just a bunch of kids. But we don't know when mom and dad are going to show up. Well, we try to keep things pretty tidy so we can finish up last few little things before they get home. You know how it is. So the prophet Elijah. So very important, and we're going to notice here. But Elijah is just a man who gave himself to be used of God. I want you to think about that as we read 2 Kings chapter 2, verse number 1. It says, "And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha." Make sure you get the difference, Elijah and Elisha, "from Gilgal." Now, let me quick remind you that it's going to talk about this, but Elijah did not die. He went up in a chariot of fire. Now, Elijah was a pretty important. In fact, at the transfiguration of Christ, on the Mount of Transfiguration, Christ was transfigured into his glorified form and with Moses and Elijah. You know, there's other prophets out there, but it was Moses and Elijah. Now, Moses represents the law. Elijah, he represents the prophets. But Jesus Christ, on him hangs all the law and the prophets, everything. He's the fulfillment of it all. And so they were there together. So some say, because, Moses, there's a talk about how the Satan fought for the body of Moses and all this. And so some people think that neither one of them actually kind of, that God did something a little different. And sometimes they talk about the two witnesses in the book of Revelation. Some think it's going to be Moses and Elijah. Some think it's going to be Elijah and Enoch. Enoch never died, for the Lord took him. And so who knows? But anyway, Elijah's a pretty important guy. That's my point. Pretty important guy. Now, he went, he was about ready to be taken up, and they knew it. Taken up in a whirlwind. And so Elijah, verse 1, went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel, means the house of God. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And so they went down to Bethel. Basically, Elijah would say, as long as you're alive, Elijah, I'm not going anywhere. You're stuck with me. We know that you're not going to be here long. We know that you're going to be taken up. But as long as you're alive, as long as you live, I'm with you. Verse 3. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel, once they got there, came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? I'm going to paraphrase. Yeah, I know it. Just be quiet. That's basically what he's saying. Yeah, I know it. Yeah, I know. Hold your peace. I don't want to even think about it. Don't talk about it. So all these prophets, there was a school of the prophets at Bethel. They were teaching them. We're not sure exactly what all was going on, but they were instructing them. It was a school of prophets. And we're going to find that there was another school of prophets at Jericho. And so these were men who were supposedly devout, servants of the Lord and so forth. And they knew who Elisha was. Of course, they knew who Elijah was. And they said, Elisha, Elijah's about ready to be taken up. And I know you follow him around. What, you're following him around? He said, yeah, I know. Don't talk about it. Verse 4. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here at Bethel, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. So you're stuck with me. I'm not leaving. Verse 5. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho, different bunch, came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away the master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And the two went on. And the 50 men of the sons of the prophets went, that's the bunch from Jericho, and stood to view afar off. And they stood by the Jordan River. It's talking about the Jordan River. And Elijah took his mantle, that little coat, little covering he had, and he kind of rolled it, wrapped it together, and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither so that they too went over on dry ground. Who else divided the water? Who else? Moses and Joshua divided the Jordan when he actually went into the promised land. And now Elijah has parted the waters. You do the trick too much, it kind of loses the effect, doesn't it? But anyway, I'm sure it was still, the guy when they looked and saw him part the waters, it was a big deal. In fact, there was a connection there. The power of God was on this man. It says the two went over on dry ground. Verse 9, and it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee that a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken up from thee, you stick around, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, they were communing together, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into the heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen of thereof. Basically, he's saying, you're like my dad. I mean, what am I going to do now? I've been following you, and here, now you're gone. I'm left here all by myself. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle, this little coat of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And Elisha and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell down from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. So now Elisha has parted the waters. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." And they went to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said unto him, "Behold, now there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master. Lest peradventure the spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley." And he said, "Ye shall not send." So these guys said, "Okay, all right, so you got the spirit of Elijah." And he said, "Tell you what, we're good, strong young guys here. Why don't we go look for Elijah? I mean, maybe God dropped him on a mountain sometime. He picked him up in the chariot there and whisked him away. He might be floating up there. See, he's floating around here someplace. We're not sure. We'll go look for him." And Elijah says, "Don't bother." Basically, he's saying, "He's gone. Don't bother. Don't go back looking for him." Verse 17, "And when they urged him till he was ashamed," I mean, he just, "Oh, my soul." He said, "Send they sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. And when they came back to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said unto them, 'Did I not say unto thee, go not?'" Told you so. You weren't going to find him. It's all over. Time to move on. Read a lot of scripture there, but I got some things. We're going to go as far as we can this morning. I don't want you to miss this. You know, sometimes the most profound things are the most simple. And I think sometimes we miss the great things because we overlook the simple things. And I want you to see some things here this morning. And we're going to talk on this topic. Do you know the God of Elijah? Do you know the God of Elijah? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can come to your word and find truth. I thank we can come to your word with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank for each one you've brought our way. And we've got our folks who've been here for many, many years. We've got folks who've come here just not too awful long ago, and some have been here for a while, and some visiting maybe the first time or the first few times. And Lord, I thank for each one. And may you give them exactly what each of us need. If there be one that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray that they'll come to know Christ today. And Lord, maybe there's some folks who know Christ as their Savior, but they're kind of like the men at the school of the prophets. They're watching others have God work in their lives, never even thinking about it could be working in their own lives. So Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us. We ask for your Spirit, and we'll give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen. Secondhand power only lasts so long. There comes a time in our lives when we need to have our own relationship with the Lord. When I say Lord, I'm saying the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah, God of the universe, Yahweh, however you want to say it. Not just any Lord. Not some other Lord some world has decided to devise. Talking about the Lord. We need our own relationship with the Lord. And I think sometimes we stand off and kind of look from afar and say, boy, it should be nice to have God work in my life. And that's as far as we go. Well, I'm sure glad he's working in their life. I can see it happening, but I guess that probably won't ever happen for me. The name Elijah means Jehovah is the Almighty One. Jehovah is God. Elijah knew God. Elijah knew that Jehovah is the Almighty One. Elijah saw God do many miraculous things in his life. But Elijah's gone. Elisha, the name Elijah means God of supplication, or Jehovah to whom we can pray. In other words, it's saying the Almighty God, in fact, it talks about the riches and the one who supplies all. Elijah saw God as the one who supplies all our needs according to his riches and glory. Elijah saw God as the Almighty when he followed the one whose statement was, God is the Almighty. Now, though I think, sadly, that very few Christians ever come to this point of reckoning, I believe that every Christian needs to decide they want the God of Elijah working in their lives. It ought to burn in our heart to see him do something for real. I think sometimes we're scared to put our faith there because what if he disappoints us? I believe God is more than willing to show himself strong and faithful in the lives of his children, but I believe that relatively few of God's children determine to have it happen. Many Christians are like the sons of the prophets. They go to a church a lot. They practically live there and are religious and even somewhat spiritual, but they're followers of those that follow the Lord. Now, that's okay for a while. As children, we have to follow our parents. We got to follow. My father, Elisha said of Elijah. There's times when we got to follow our parents, and we should. But there ought to come a time in our life when it's not so much the milk of the word, that the fact is that we can get a hold of God ourselves. We need to determine in our hearts that we're going to have a personal walk with God. Elijah was the prophet of God, and Elisha said he was not going to stop walking with the prophet of God as long as he was on the earth. Now, that's good. But what's the prophet of God? That's the voice of God, if you will, the word of God, the truth of God coming to man. And he says, I'm going to listen as much as I can. Now, I think many Christians are too quick to pass up God's miracle working power of God in their lives. Our lives and ministries may not require the same type of miracles as did Elijah's ministry or his life or Elisha's even. But God can do things in our lives that only God could have done. I've been talking to some folks here recently. We were talking about the building back here. And I started explaining how things, this and this came up, and this kind of funds came up. And I said, what kind of capital campaign did you have? Didn't have one. I told him if everybody who came to church gave $3.68 a week extra, we could probably get the first building paid off, and we can do this, and we can fund with this much money. And he said, you did what? I said, yeah, that was my capital campaign. Skip one happy meal a week, and we're good to go. The bankers looked at us and kind of shook their head. But I tell you what, it's kind of like, you know what Moses did when he got ready to build the tabernacle? He says, bring it of your own free will. And they did. And they did. And they did. He said, okay, we don't have a place to put it anymore. Now, we're not to that point yet. But the Lord takes care of us. We don't have to beg and borrow and steal and connive and twist everybody's arm. Listen, you get in love with the Lord, you want to serve him, you want to please him, you want to be part of what's going on. The Lord has blessed us in many ways. Now, do you know Jehovah, the God of Elijah, as your God? First statement. Elisha knew that Elijah would soon be gone. He was reminded by the sons of the prophets. He didn't like it. Yeah, I know, but I'd rather not talk about it. There are times in our lives, we have a mentor, we have someone who's kind of, we kind of think, this was my rock, you know, this is the person I've leaned on, and so forth and so on. And you know what, that's okay to a certain point, but the fact is, we should probably get out from underneath of that as soon as we can and get directly underneath of him. We need to rely on him. Listen, everything else is going to pass away, but his word, which means his promises, never pass away. And the God who promised changes not. He does not lie. You see, it's hard for us sometimes to get underneath it. So why? Are you really? You should. Because we've seen so many people live their life. How many of those folks were the prophets standing afar off watching? Where do they live? At church. They're living with a bunch of believers, if you say it that way. I know this was the Old Testament, but they were together. It's like going to a seminary, and all these guys are watching these other, you know, it happens sometimes in seminaries. You know, you guys who've been pastors before, you know, it's funny how we follow these guys. Jack Hiles, years ago, of course, he had Hiles Anderson College, and Clyde Box was here to preach a few years ago, and he always joked about all these young boys follow Jack Hiles, and Jack Hiles had this cough, and he'd preach, And he'd cough and he'd preach. Cough. And said he gave bronchitis to every boy in the country who wanted to be a preacher because they'd preach and cough in between the voice. I was like that makes it all the better. Listen, we're following men when we do. We don't need to follow men. We need to follow God. Okay? And so he says, yeah, I know. And Elijah was not looking to take Elijah's place. I don't think he was. However, if Elijah was going to be leaving anyway, and he could not stop it, I think Elijah said, well, I might as well reach for everything I can get. And that's okay. That's not presumptuous. Now, if you go to a party and everything's laid out on there and it's kind of a little smorgasbord there and you clean all those plates out and put it all on your plate, that's not good. But you can't empty out God's plates. You can take all you want, and there's still plenty there for everybody else. You cannot take too much. And God's not upset if you take all you can get. Number two, there's a little thought process. I want to spend a lot of time on this, but when you see that, I want you to remember your own salvation. We're saved. We're God's children. We're God's children. Elijah was God's child. Elisha was God's child. I'm God's child. You're God's child if you know Christ as your Savior. You, if like he talked about here when he baptized, you know that we're all sinners. We've sinned against God. You know because of your sin, you deserve death and hell. But you believe that Jesus Christ died and paid for your sins. Know that the resurrection proves that. And you're trusting him alone for your salvation. I mean, trusting, not just believing, but trusting, resting in it. If that's the case, then you're God's child. Take it. Live in it. Soak in it. Revel in it. Be thankful in it. Rejoice in it. Shout once in a while. I mean, we're God's child. And God takes good care of his children. Now you say, where did that come from? Look at verse 1. It says, it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah unto heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Not going to spend a lot of time there, but Gilgal was the place they came across when they came into the promised land, into Jordan. And it means to roll over. You know the old song, rolled away, rolled away, rolled away, all the burdens of my heart rolled away, rolled away. You know the old song? Where does it come from? It comes from the idea that we roll our sins over on him. And that means we're rolled away. Listen, the old life of Egypt was gone. We were saved. But also, that old life in the wilderness was gone. Now we're in the new area. And at Gilgal, while the waters were spread apart, you know the story, Joshua said that I want a man from every tribe to get a stone and put it in the middle of the river. And we're going to build this tower, this monument, if you will, of 12 stones, one for each tribe, to remind us we came across here in dry ground. Now, sometimes the water's high, so we're also going to put one up here on the bank, too, so we can remind it even when the water's high. When the water comes down, we're going to say, they were down there. They came across that riverbed on dry ground. And so when you go to Gilgal, it's a reminder every time of God's salvation. The reminder that God is the one who delivers. God is the one who started all this, and God is the one who's going to see us all the way through. Go back to Gilgal and be reminded we're his children. He cares for us. You're saved. You know, you're just as saved as anybody else if you're saved. If you are saved, you're just as saved as anybody else. You have the same access to a holy and righteous God, to all the riches and glory. Now, we don't need a lot of them, gather them up and put them away for later, because all we got to do is call for them when we need them. I don't need a storage unit. Let him store them in heaven. Send them down when I need them. It's a wonderful thing. So remember your own salvation. Number three, I want you to spend time with God yourself. We need to spend time with God. Look at verse 2. And Elijah said to Elisha, tarry here and pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, as long as you're alive, I will not leave. I'm not letting go of it. So they went down to Bethel. You know what Bethel means? The house of God. Now you remember when that was called Bethel, when We are climbing Jacob's ladder. Remember the old song? Jacob's ladder. He made a stone for his pillow, and Jacob's ladder showed up there, and he had this dream, and the angels were coming and coming up and down the ladder, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he made an altar there. And so that Bethel, that's that place, the house of God. God moves even when we don't know he's there. See, Jacob shows up there, and God's been, in fact, if you go back and read it, you go back to Genesis 28, I'm not going to go through it tonight, this morning, but it basically says, I will be with you. Follow me, and I'll be with you. So we got to remind them we're saved. We got to remind them that God says, I'll be with you. You are my child. I am with you. Jacob shows up, and God's already there. By the way, you can't show up anywhere where God isn't already there. It's a wonderful thing. When you say, well, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. It doesn't matter. God's already there. Nothing has changed. Well, I don't know what we're going to do. Well, maybe you don't know, but he does. Listen, I can't tell you how many times, it happens. Please don't take this wrong. I hope you won't think this is bad. But sometimes I may go all week and think, I don't have a message. I have a passage. I think, I know there's something in here. I know it's in here. There's something in here. And usually, sometime Friday afternoon, it's like it all starts to coagulate, and then Saturday, all the good points show up, and there it is. Because I've been thinking on it all week, he shows up, ta-da, in the nick of time. It's amazing. God knows what we need. He knows when we need it. I have found that he's faithful. And listen, I study all the time, but on the other hand, sometimes the message doesn't show up until the last minute. Sometimes the best illustrations show up while I'm standing here. Now, the good message, because it's all out of the Bible, but all of a sudden, the illustration shows up right while I'm standing here, and I hadn't thought about it for years, and they go, wow, that was a great message. I know. I'd like to take credit for it, but I can't. Now, remember your own salvation. Spend time with yourself at the house of God. That's good. Got to grow up. Number four, allow no one to discourage you from seeking the Lord, including so-called Christians. By the way, this is a matter of semantics, I know. But just kind of humor me. I think there's a difference between being saved and being a Christian. I think if you're saved by grace through faith, you're going to heaven. But a Christian is somebody who lives like Christ. Now, I mean, technically, I could say you're a Christian because you're saved and you're sanctified, so you're set apart to be in heaven. I understand that. But you really want to be a Christian, you ought to act like a Christian. We ought to behave like a Christian. It ought to make a difference in what we do in our lives. And look at verse 3. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel. Bethel means what? So they got the prophets at the house of God, came forth to Elisha and said unto him, you do know that the Lord, Jehovah, God, the Almighty One, capital, all capitals, will take away thy master from thy head today. Now, it doesn't mean he's going to, okay, what it means is you've been following him all these years. Has been kind of safe following around Elijah. He's been the head. You've been following like a son, so to speak, and you're not going to have him anymore. Now, be honest with you, we're doing it right now. It's happened several times. Brother Bobby Robertson was a pastor for 60 years at the Gospel Light Baptist Church. Church at the peak was running up in the upper 3,000s to 4,000. Out in the middle of a cornfield. And he's 80-some years old. He said he wanted to pastor until he was 100 and then go into evangelism. That's just the way he was. He kind of laughed because he knew that the Lord probably wouldn't have enough. But he's just a good guy. But he's kind of unresponsive. He's got pneumonia. He's had a little good there, but he's got a brain tumor. They can't get it all. And it's just difficult. And you know what, everybody, you know, out there amongst all this, well, who in the world is going to take Gospel Light? Now, we can overthink it and do what man thinks, or everybody can just stop. And, of course, it's not our decision. It's the church's decision. Stop, stand still, get the mind of God. The Lord's done some mighty things. I think I told you this, but they had a big conference, and Curtis Hudson was preaching, and he was talking to preachers, and Brother Bobby was sitting here, and his son Steve, who's It's also a pastor was sitting there next to him, and Dr. Hudson says, you know, when they were down here in the corner of the little block building down here, this is Curtis Hudson, he says, he could see that next building up here. It's that seat 600. When they were in that building of 600, he could see this building of 2300. I mean, he could see that school. He could see that they were going to be running, you know, 50 buses. He could see that. And Brother Bobby's son, Liam Dermer, said, he always called him Daddy. He said, Daddy, did you see all that? Did you envision all that happening? He said,
Son, I didn't see nothing. I just showed up to work.
And built one of the greatest churches in America. Honest to goodness truth. We got some folks who have family down in our church around here who were here with us. Great church. So, just a big family church. Just a big family church. Now, the sons, I don't know how to get on that. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel, there at church, came forth to Elijah and said, you know, he's going to take them away. He said, you know, you're not going to have Elijah around to lead you step by step much longer. What are you going to do then? Who's going to tell you what to do? And there's a lot of folks, well, the whole place is going to fall apart when Brother Bobby goes. I remember thinking the same thing when I was out in First Baptist Church of Hammond and thinking about when I was going to college and Dr. Hiles was about 64. 10 years later, he was gone. But I remember thinking, who's going to take over this place? And they've had their problems. But we're not here to follow a man. That was part of the problem there. Some Christians follow men, and when that man is gone or that man falls, they're left wandering around and defeated. There are some folks come, and I appreciate it, and I grin and I appreciate it. We have a gal here who was here for a while, and then he wasn't here for a while, and then she came back and says, I needed my Sterling Walsh fix. She said, I didn't want to give up my Bible because I know he likes to use an old KJV Bible, but I just something about the fact is we come here, we learn the Bible. I couldn't, but the fact, no, but here, watch me now. Don't follow me. Only follow me as I follow him. A preacher is like a windshield on your car. To what? Look through it to where you're going. Don't look at it. Because if you look at that windshield, you're going to see all the bugs and all the dirt and all the spots. And we're going to be so busy looking at the bugs, we'll end up having an accident and ruin something. The windshield is there to get dirty. The windshield there is to protect you. The windshield there is to make it clear where we're trying to go. But don't look at the windshield. You look where you're going. It'll do damage to me and damage to you. Elijah did not follow the man. He followed the man of God as the man of God followed the Lord. The man of God, I've just said this, is like a windshield. And Elijah did follow Elijah in that he did what Elijah did. And that is Elijah followed and obeyed the Lord. That's how you do it. Therefore, Elisha follow the Lord. Even people at the house of God can discourage you from trusting in the Lord. Many trust in those that trust in the Lord. Most people tend to trust in those that trust the Lord rather than trusting in the Lord themselves. Well, but did you read this book what so-and-so said? Well, does it line up with this book? And before we go off and make our decisions based on that book, make sure that book, who might have brought some good things to the light, that's okay, but does that book line up with this book? Rightly dividing the word of truth, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Know what you're following. Divide that thing up so you know what it is. Number 5. Even if it seems as if the Lord doesn't care whether you follow him or not, follow God by faith. Let me say that again. I don't think we're going to get much further than this here. I got too much more here I don't want you to miss out on. Even if it seems as if the Lord doesn't care whether you follow him or not, you follow God by faith. Look at verse 4. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. Now he said the first thing, I'm going down to Bethel. You stay right here in Gilgal. No, I'm going to Bethel with you. As long as you're alive, I'm sticking right there. Well, you don't need to stay. You don't need to go with you. I got stuff to do down. He said, no, I'm sticking around with you. It's almost like I don't want to be his posse. Huh? That's what we say. I don't want to be his posse. Wait a minute. We need to follow those who follow God for the point of following God ourselves. But sometimes it's like, I'm not getting any encouragement here to follow God. That doesn't matter. I don't need somebody else telling me whether or not to follow God. See, I've already made a decision. I'm going to follow God even if nobody else goes. Now, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but this is one of the things that I taught my kids when they were growing up, and I've taught my teenagers in the church. You ever see a pyramid? You know what a pyramid is? Pretend that there's different levels on that pyramid. The further you go up, the fewer there are on that level. That doesn't mean you can't go up the level. God's more than willing to let you come up in the level of your walk with Him. But the fact is, if you want to run with the crowd, just stay down the bottom level, because that's where the crowd is. But after a while, so you know what? I want more out of my relationship with God. Well, then we take another step. You're going to find that some people are going to say, "What are you doing?" But as other folks said, "Yeah, it's good here." But the fact is, so say, well, you know what? I want another level with the Lord. And the further you get up, the fewer there are that are with it. To the point where it's just Elijah and Elisha. You say, well, that must be, you know, held reserved for the elite. You knew who Elijah? I mean, you remember Elijah? In fact, remember Elijah, that's that crazy guy. Elijah the Tishbite. I probably shouldn't say this, but some of those kings have Elijah the Tushbite. And you'll catch that later. Because they didn't like him. He was just a pain. I'm sorry. But that's all I should. In a multitude of words, I would have not sinned. I'm sorry. But anyway, they didn't like Elijah. He talked crazy. He acted crazy. He looked crazy. They didn't want to have anything to do with him. But the fact is, he walked with God. Elisha was a guy, Elijah finds him with a bunch of oxen plowing the field. He's a farmer. And apparently, when the sun shined, he glowed back. Because it talks about he didn't have any hair, just a regular guy. Just a regular guy with, you know, typical male pattern baldness. In fact, they talk about it next chapter here. They make fun of him. He was just a regular guy. Except for one thing. I will not leave you. I'm going to stick to this thing. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to hang tight because I want that response. I want that relationship. I want that walk with God. Even if all the world says, don't bother. Now watch me. When I say Jericho, what do you think of? Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. You know, so we're trying to fit the battle of Jericho. But anyway, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. It's a symbol of God's power and what God and only God can do, because they did not win that by themselves. They walked around till the walls fell down and God says, here it is, take it. In fact, the word Jericho means a sweet smell. And it's interesting, God puts it all together, so it's a sweet smell of victory. We got Gilgal, salvation. We got Bethel, that's a walk with God. And then we have victory. And Elijah says, I'm going down to Jericho, that fragrant place, that place of victory. And by the way, God can do what God can do. He does do those kinds of things. He can do those kind of things. He can do them for us. He can do some for somebody else. So we go to Gilgal, salvation, to Bethel, the house of God, to Jericho, victorious Christian life. And remember, it was God that did all these things. What is in the waters of Jordan near Jericho? The 12 stones. Right? He went back. Gilgal was there. And you look on the map. He comes back to Jordan. He's going to go across Jordan. This is just my opinion. I think when he parted the waters, it at least reminded them of what Joshua had done. So God, through Elijah, has the words of life. And look what Elijah says. Elisha says, as long as you are alive, Elijah, I'm going to be right there with you. Because Elijah, the prophet of God, is telling him what truth is. And like Peter, who said, where shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. So more of the same discouragement does not mean that it's right discouragement. Look at verse 5. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And many may say, God gave victory to this person, this person, this person before, but I guess that now that Elijah is gone, so are the victories. You follow me? Well, those are the days God worked in those days. Well, did he die? He fell off the throne. He's away on vacation. He says, Elijah's gone. I know. You don't have to tell me. I don't like it any more than you do. But watch this. Notice that the sons of the prophets were not following Elijah. All they did was complain that it was all over. Elijah said to him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And the two went on. All right, give you one more and we'll be done. Sixth statement. The power of God can be upon those that have the faith in the Lord. Yeah? That's an amazing statement if you think about it. It applies to anybody. If you'll have the faith of God, then you may not need to do the same things that Elijah did or what Elisha did, but you may need something in your life that seems pretty big. And a power of God in your life can be upon those who have faith in the Lord. Listen, some watch the power of God from afar, and some folks are going to be part of the miracle. Look at verse 7. And the 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, from a distance, remotely, and they stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that the two went over on dry ground. Moses had parted the waters, Joshua had parted the waters, and Elijah now parts the water, and little old Elisha is going to too. God is just as powerful today as he was in the time of Moses and the time of Joshua. The power of God is on those that have faith in God and say, I will not let it go. Elijah probably knew Elijah well enough. I think he did. To know that Elijah was just a man of like passions as he. We're going to see that next time. But yet God used him to work amazing things. And if Elijah can do that, maybe I think Elijah said, well, maybe I can. If Elijah can do that, and Elisha can do that, wait, maybe I can. Maybe you can. The power of God is not limited. But if you're going to let it go, you let go of the promises too. My question, and we have more we want to talk about next week. But I'd like to get hungry.
Well, it's 12 o'clock. I am hungry.
I want you to hunger and thirst for righteousness. You'll be fed. Just go home and imagine what it would be like if you could talk to God one-on-one. If you knew that He was going to be there when you needed Him. Now, I know we live at a time where we live behind a veil. We can't see everything. But we can see His promises. And they have not changed. And that's what we live on. Not on what some person that came by, came flying through. Some guy who flashed through town for a few years. Some person on TV that's all the hit for 5, 10 years. And now they're gone. And what happened to them? I get people who give us books. And it's books on this and this and this. And it was a hot seller in the New York Times, you know. And now you can't give them away because it's passé. It's gone. It's over. All the hype is gone. And it's been shown just to be just hype. Y'all got excited about it. Do you remember a few years ago, everybody was giving out the book, The Prayer of Jabez? Now, the fact is, that's a good book. It's got some good principles. But you know what we did? We followed the book. That book instead of this book. We were following somebody who followed God instead of following God ourselves. To the point where it's not just a prayer of Jabez. Listen, that's good. It gives us an illustration. But what about your prayer? What about your God? There's nothing wrong with a prayer of Jabez. It says, expand my borders. Lord, here I am. Use me. Well, that's a wonderful thing. But let's not stop there. We get all excited because somebody else did it. Maybe I'm too selfish. I want to get in on the deal. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank you for teaching us some things here. Lord, I want to know the God of Elijah. I want to know You. And I want our folks to know You. Lord, speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed and our eyes.